Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Red Hot Comic Book Movie News.
Make the news of the Earth.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday, and with me, as always, co-host Nick Mason.
That's right. It's
and
great
brought,
to be here.
You've brought big news. What is it?
Have I?
Yes.
Well, our big news, I think, is that we are incredibly listless right now because we went to Red Rooster before this.
We shouldn't have done it.
We just packed it all in. I had a chocolate mousse. I had some cheesy chicken nuggets.
Yep.
And also, I had KFC earlier.
You already had
a
dinner.
I'd say this is second dinner.
You already had bad dinner.
I had bad dinner. I had a bad chicken dinner already, and I was like, no, James loves Red Rooster. It's the only...
I would have had soup at home if you had just told me you already had bad dinner. Mm. So you've ruined us both.
Good.
My goodness. So that's the big news.
Anyway, if KFC and or Red Rooster want to sponsor us...
Yeah, that's right.
We'll take their money.
We'll talk about bad dinner.
Mm.
Yeah. Your family have the worst thing you've ever eaten. All right. Mason.
Hello.
It's big news week.
Is it?
Got a number of things to talk about, including the latest updates on the writer's strike. Chris Hemsworth has some things to say about Marvel and his career in Stutch. We have a new name for Captain America 4.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
A Fast X Part 2 update.
Oh, is it it's going to streaming immediately?
that's part of it.
Okay.
We've got more Indiana Jones 5 screening people who saw it.
Okay.
And
if only there was a word for that, but there isn't.
Previews? Screenings?
We've got more Indiana Jones people seen it. They watched it, thought of it, went in their brain.
Yep.
And then swizzled around in their brain and then thoughts came out in the form of words. If only there was a term for that.
We got a trailer for Expend 4 Bulls.
Mm. the Expend 4 Bulls.
We've got Nintendo news and Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a little bit of a Superman update, something to do with The Flash and what's going on there and whatever. Mm. And then we're going to talk Mason.
We're going to talk me?
We're going to talk
That's
all
so
about you, yeah. All your horrible secrets.
Yes, finally. Finally.
We're going to talk.
I built up enough goodwill.
Yeah.
Where, like, the time is right for me to just say all the rotten
Perfect
stuff
opportunity.
That I do. Yeah.
And continue to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's a new segment. Mace, that's crook, Mace. Yeah.
Why are you doing that? I don't know. Because I'm a bad guy.
I'm in my grub era, as we know.
We are in our grub era. Transformers Rise of the Beasts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great.
Transformers Rise of the Beast.
There's time codes below. What am I saying?
Tom DeLong.
I meant to
this
say
week,
Tom
DeLong from Blink-182 has done the time
I was going to say time.
Rob Collings has taken codes. The week off, and it's Tom DeLong.
Yeah. I was trying to say time codes and Collings at the same time.
I see, right.
Anyway, Collings who edits
In a way,
this.
They are time Collings,
That's
aren't
true.
They?
Mm. He does the time Collings is below if you want to jump to any particular segment.
Yeah, yeah.
Mason.
If you want to know, where are you?
You know. Et cetera. Mason,
the segment,
et cetera.
Where is it?
Mission Impossible 8 is currently being affected by the writer's strike.
Oh.
That's the...
Dead Reckoning Part 2,
Dead
yes.
Reckoning Part 2, that's right. Yes, so okay. That is on hold for now.
I would have thought they would have locked that script in. But I guess...
Well, you got to also...
When it's being worked on the day, yeah.
And that's the kind of series of films where they think about it, you know?
That's true. Yeah.
There are some other movies I don't think about.
Yeah. We need a thing for Simon Pegg to say when Tom Cruise is doing something insane. And we'll figure it out on the day.
He goes, Ethan, no, I don't know.
We'll get Simon Pegg's genuine reaction from whatever insane thing is happening.
Exactly.
Ethan, don't go into space.
Oh, why'd you do that? No, I got to maybe do something, I don't know.
Yeah.
I got to be on a computer.
Yeah.
And Emily in Paris has been affected.
Didn't know that was still going.
Yeah, no, it is, and it is affected. So bad news for Phil Collins' daughter, Emily in Paris.
That's true.
Mason.
Hello.
So that's good, is what I'm saying. Yeah. Good. Delay stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, people pay people properly.
That's right.
If they paid people properly, there wouldn't be any delays and we could all have Hollywood movies every day.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that what you want?
Yes, a daily trip to the movies. Woo! I would love that. Yes.
That's right.
Oh, but James, what if they got all the demands and then they just made more demands? What if that? Not such a perfect world now, is it?
Oh, wow. You really got me there. Let me think about that for a second. Fuck you. What about that?
Oh, no.
It should be an ongoing negotiation.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a great point, though.
That was a little play we performed for you.
That's right.
I played dumb guy who emails in sometimes.
Yep. This is my GQ. Chris Hemsworth had a big interview.
Yeah, a big interview.
Where he sat down.
Mm-hmm. They gave him a bintang.
They gave him a bintang and he went for it.
Bintang.
Some of the things he spoke about, though, were very interesting. One being Thor 4, Last Thor that came out, and maybe just Last Thor in general. We'll see.
Maybe.
I don't think so, though. He says, I think we had too much fun. It became too silly. It's always hard being in the center of it and having any real perspective. I love the process. It's always a ride, but you don't know how people are going to respond. Now, there was obviously negative reaction to Thor 4.
Doesn't the interview also say that his kids made fun of him?
Oh, that was an expert. And his son's friends made fun of him.
And his son's friend, I think the thing.
They're eight. They should love everything.
That's what jumped out at me is that 8-year-old children do not have any yardstick for quality at all. Mm. But maybe Hollywood kids do.
Maybe they do.
Maybe they're seeing so much.
Maybe
you know?
Horrible Byron surf rats do.
Maybe they do.
Yeah. So that's a pretty fair response, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like there's probably takes and cuts of that movie you could make, which would improve it dramatically.
I see.
You know, but less kind of like, oh, no, I fell over or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I've stood up instead.
Yeah, I stood up and I'm brave and I'm not silly. Yeah. But he did talk about how, like, Thor will have to change again. So there was, like, the first two kind of go hand in hand and then the three and four do and whatever. Okay. And then next time something else or whatever.
This time he's a doctor.
This time he's a doctor, Thor. Yeah. I'm a surgeon. I'm a surgeon, he'll say. Yeah. Thoust is a surgeon.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'll just lightning bolt you open and I'll fix that old ticker in there.
Yeah, that's right.
And then I'll lightning bolt you closed.
He also said about his kids, I got a quote here. It's a bunch of 8-year-olds critiquing my film. We thought this one had too much humor. The action was cool, but the VFX weren't as good. I cringe and I laugh equally at it. Oh. So there you go.
That's cringe, Dad.
That is very cringe.
Dad, that's cringe. All you've done is cringe there. Dad, your career is cringe.
Yeah.
Dad, Girl Ghostbusters was cringe.
Am I going to get that? My kid's going to be like, Dad, your podcast is cringe and Mesa is cringe?
You might, unless you don't.
Get a better podcast host is to cringe.
Oh, no. If all you have to do is not teach your child the word cringe. And if he comes home from school and he's like, Dad, what's cringe? He'll be like, sounds like a made-up word.
Yes. Yeah.
No. Made up. Oh, your teacher said it. No, they're wrong. I'm going to get them fired.
They're using sus.
Yeah.
Kids, like, he's saying sus. He's like, that's sus. This is sus. I'm like, none of those things are sus. I'll tell you what's sus, right?
The government.
The government's sus. So, yeah, he also mentioned how, like, he was kind of, like, bummed out that he couldn't work with, like, Scorsese because Scorsese's like, there's only one true comic book movie and it's the movie Joker.
That's what he has said,
That's what he has said.
Yeah.
And they
I want to be clear after the fact that I have nothing to do with the movie Joker. But
yes, and I haven't seen it. Somehow, most of the marketing campaign about that movie was Martin Scorsese, but Joker. Mm. Yeah. And he also said in relation to some of the latest Marvel movies, he said, this is in reference to Ant-Man 3, he was like, they can't all be big.
It sucked.
Wow, here's the thing.
And Paul Rudd sucked.
He said, movies can't be all big world-ending things. Like, you have to make smaller stories. And this was in reference specifically to Ant-Man 3. I was like, the end of the world is coming and whatever. Mm. But he's like, maybe you should have made a smaller story. But he also said, I haven't seen it.
Whoa.
Which makes me think he has seen it. And he didn't want to be like, I saw it and I didn't like it.
I was in a session with Martin Scorsese and neither of us saw it. I saw an ad on YouTube the other day. Remember when Ant-Man 3 was coming out and there was going to be a book, a companion book?
Oh, the Scott Lang
book,
yeah.
Look out for the little guy. Mm. I saw an ad for that. Paul Rudd's like, it's real and you can get it.
Yeah.
And it's from like 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, man, nobody's getting that. what are you thinking?
Is that the comment you left?
Yes. Hey, Paul Rudd.
What are you doing? Yeah.
Guys, you've got to buy it, otherwise they'll take away the amulet that means I don't age. All my aging will come back over a weekend.
Oh, no. They've Dorian Grayed me.
Mm. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess that is the choice that a lot of, you know, actors make in Hollywood now, which is do you jump into the big blockbuster machine? I mean, I guess it's always been that way.
Yeah.
But you know, over the last decade or so, it's been stars being locked into, you know, multiple picture deals, you know, an entire, you know, you have to eat, sleep and breathe your character and the universe they live in and all their relationships with every other character and all the potential storylines they could, you know, be made. Or you can do a more artsy thing that isn't going to win you, you know, that isn't going to make you rich.
Win you money.
Or win you money, you know.
Well, I think there's a few people who kind of do both. I would say like Adam Driver's a good example of that. Mm-hmm. You know, he can do as many good or bad Star Wars movies and whatever. And
that's
then,
true,
and then be like, and now I'm in this movie about monks or whatever.
Yeah.
Or dinosaurs. Yeah
that's I'm doing it. My, I'm doing, I'm this is, it's one for you and one for me. One for you guys, Star Wars. One for me, 65 million year old dinosaur movie or whatever. Space dinosaurs.
Yeah.
That's my one. That's for the. That's got to scratch that artistic itch, you know.
Totally.
Mm. Yeah, I think he said something like, "Well, I'm never going to be in a Scorsese or a Tarantino movie." He was in. Do you remember Bad Times at the El Royale?
Yeah, I quite like that. That was that kind of vibe, wasn't it?
Yeah, I felt that was very much attempting to be a Tarantino-esque kind of movie. But I don't. I mean, you know, reach out. You know,
reach out.
Put some feelers.
Do
out.
Do better. Is that what you're saying?
Get Kevin Feige in the room with Scorsese and be like, give Hemsworth a thing.
Yeah.
He could be Italian.
Yeah, he'd be Italian for you. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You can't stand up.
Yeah.
You know, he'd have to be sitting down. He'd be a little Italian. You know, they'd shrink him down, I feel like, you know.
I like Bradley Cooper.
You're like Bradley Cooper. Yeah.
Sure.
Mason, Captain America 4.
So I'm just saying Christopher Capricciosa.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But can you imagine, like, Chris Hemsworth, like, sitting around an Italian mobster table? He's too big. They'd have to give him like a comb over and they shrink him down. Make him all hunched
or
something. They'd have to petrify him.
He could be one of the guys. You know, there's always like a non-Italian guy and he's like, maybe he's sleeping with the boss's wife and then they take him out in a field and shoot him in the back of the head or whatever.
That would be fun.
Right. But he'd have to go real weedy.
Yeah.
He'd have to go not all muscled.
Yeah.
And be all weedy. And
Bill Paxton, True Lies, moustache kind of thing.
Yeah, James Woods, Casino.
Perfect. These are perfect examples of movies we've seen because we've seen most movies and we understand all of them.
That's right.
Speaking of movies, Mason, Captain America 4 New World Order has been now changed to Captain America 4 Brave New World.
Now, there wasn't an official announcement, I don't think, but there was an on-set photo of Anthony
Mackie. I think
that
was the official
announcement. Oh, there you go. Well, it was Anthony Mackie and Harrison Ford sort of behind the scenes in their special star chairs.
Yeah.
And one of the chairs said Brave New World. So
that's cool.
There you go.
And that's what does that mean for the movie about snake people or whatever? Because aren't they introducing Serpent Society?
Yeah, maybe.
Which was initially a joke like a few years ago.
Yeah, maybe.
Before Civil War.
Serpent Society on a plane.
Mm. Now, if they do Serpent Society, and we maybe get some more G.I. Joe movies, who knows? Does that mean they can't do Big Cobra Man? You know, the snake?
Serpentor? I don't know.
Do we need? Will that be too many snake people in cinema?
Well, I mean, that's, you know, Marvel's skill is being that first mover, you know, having that first mover.
We made the first snake guy.
That's right.
The live action snake guy.
That's right. Now you can't make snake guys too. The Rise of Slurpentor.
Do you remember in that movie?
Which movie?
The G.I. Joe animated movie.
No.
Well, one of the Cobra Commando guys.
Okay.
I don't know which one.
One of the Cobra Commando guys.
Zapped by like a ray that's slowly turning him into a snake.
Yeah, right.
And he just towards like the end of his life when he becomes full snake, he's like, I used to be a man. Like he's just saying that all the time.
Right.
It's pretty fucked up.
That's cool, man.
Yeah. And then he became a snake.
Wow. Guy. Okay, well, that's some free dialogue, Kevin Feige, if you want that.
Yeah. May 3rd, 2024, though.
Okay.
So about a year away from Captain America 4 Snake Eyes.
Also, I think that, you know, probably the reason they've changed is because New World Order has like a very specific, like, conspiracy theory kind of connotation in certain sectors of the internet.
Isn't that, like, good, though, in a way, to be like, well, the New World Order's bad, actually. I'm assuming that's what the movie would be about.
I don't know.
No, like, there's a New World Order and we're doing it. We love
that's
it.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's being presented by KFC. New World Order, I'm loving it. That's right. We've stolen McDonald's tagline.
It's the New World Order. We're doing whatever.
It's the New World Order. I don't care. I love it. I love it.
Anyways, Fast X Part two news. Now, last week there was the rumor that Vin Diesel was beefing with Jason Momoa. He's like, you did too much bad acting in the movie. You made
you did too much bad acting that people liked.
Yeah, you made my movie slightly better, and I hate that, actually. That's right. That makes me mad. Anyway, Vin Diesel took to Instagram, as always, to say this. I love how explosive he said, but then he said, wait, give me a minute, let me compose myself. I love how
Yeah, I know I can delete and type it again, but I refuse. My Instagram captions are pure from my psyche.
I love how expressive and collaborative all the actors in our franchise feel coming into the World Saga.
The what?
The fuck does that
That's mean? Wrong.
Is that what it's called?
Maybe it's called like the World of Fast and Furious.
Yeah,
something.
I guess so. Oh, but, but it's also capital W. Because if it was like the World Saga, like, you know, the world we've created.
Oh, yeah.
The capital W was like, is this what we're calling it now?
I reckon I reckon in his mind he calls it the Worlds of Fast and Furious or something. Like not world singular, worlds.
Yeah, yeah.
Every movie is a new world.
Maybe. New world. Mm. New world order.
Oh.
Jason wanted to try something totally unique and special. And ended up creating a scene-stealing character.
And now you're adding your own spin to this, James, and I don't like it. You're doing some editorializing with a silly little voice that makes him sound silly. And I don't like it. You're making him sound petty, and I don't care.
You're telling
for
me
it.
That he didn't hear the rumors and put this out, though?
You should do it,
get ahead
in,
of it.
You should do it in his incredibly charismatic, regular voice.
You're right. That the world won't forget. Is that better?
No, I've lost the thread of it.
He ended up creating a scene-stealing character the world won't forget.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Thank you for showing up like you always do. Jason,
thank you for showing up as you always up,
like you're even when you don't want to. Even when nobody wants you here, we get you here anyway, but whatever. Jason Momoa commented, all aloha.
He said, brother.
He said, all aloha, best times. Mahalo for, I'm sorry, everybody, for taking a chance with me, boss man.
Love that.
That's just two, that's a boss and employee getting along on Instagram.
That's right. Or two assistants chatting in their employer's voices. Boss, Vin Diesel has said something on Instagram about you. Just tell him mahalo aloha.
Yeah, tell him, yeah.
You know, all the stuff that I say.
apparently, also Fast X Part 2 will come out April 4th, 2025. Mm-hmm. Hobbs solo movie comes out before
does,
that.
Maybe we've covered this, but does that mean it's going to be Fast X Part 2, then Fast 11, and then Fast 12?
Oh, Mason, what are you doing? Okay, so it's... Apparently, at the moment, we just had Fast X Part 1.
That's right.
Then we're getting Hobbs movie.
Nice.
Another one. Then we're getting Fast X Part 2 and then Fast X Part 3.
It's just called Hobbs movie.
But here's the thing. Fast X Part 1 is on streaming now.
Yeah.
The movie's been out for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That's not a good idea.
No.
It was still doing like some numbers.
Yeah.
It didn't stop. And now it's just available everywhere and you can pirate it if you want or whatever.
Probably on Twitter now.
It's probably on Twitter now. So I don't know. I don't know why they would do that. Like, it also looks like it might not break even, which also makes me think like they're probably going to reassess budgets for the next one.
Yeah,
and maybe they do go back to two movies.
Did I see that Fast X was $340 million or something?
You saw that correctly.
Some insane amount, yes. Mm. Wow.
That's fun. The director did leave like 3 days into filming.
We are going back to just like really old. Like Toyota Corollas or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Mission Impossible 2 cars, just stuff. They're going to – I mean, didn't Fast X 10 – wait, not Fast X Part 10.
Yeah, Fast X 10, yeah.
But didn't Fast X Part 10 end with, you know, them all in a bit of strife?
Yeah.
And, like, cut off from all their money and all their – you know, all that sort of stuff. So maybe we're going back to the streets for the next
maybe
one.
Maybe they'll be
and
like –
it's cheap.
Yeah, they were all in that plane and it slammed into the side of the mountain.
That's right.
They're not paying anybody
anymore. Yeah,
they're
all
dead.
I watched a video the other day on YouTube about Team Knight Rider, which was one of the two attempts to reboot Knight Rider in the 90s.
There was two in the – This is before the reboot.
There was Knight Rider 2000, which was set in the future in the year 2000.
Who drove Knight Rider?
David Hasselhoff.
Why was he in the future?
Because it just was. But it was a different – it was a red – the car was red.
Was he not the same guy though?
No, he was the same guy and Kit was the same computer but it was in a different car.
What, they didn't explain any of that?
Yeah, they did.
How did he get in the future?
It was just the future.
So it just moved forward in time.
Oh, okay. As a narrative sometimes does.
So they painted his car red and went, it's the future.
Yes.
I hate
but
that.
But then after that there was a show called Team Knight Rider which had a bunch of – just old Ford cars, and they all had different personalities and different drivers or whatever.
That's too many people.
It is too many.
And talking cars and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, too much. Yeah. And there was all like relationships between all the like some people's cars liked other drivers, and but they didn't like their driver or whatever. And it was all this sort of.
So it's like Voltron.
Yeah.
The Voltron force, but nobody knows what they're supposed to be driving.
And one of the cars was just like this weird space-looking car that split into two motorcycles.
And who's driving those motorcycles?
Two different guys.
It's too much, mate. Was Hasselhoff in this one as well?
No, although Michael Knight shows up right at the end and he's like, I've been...
I hate this. I'm shutting this down.
I've been watching this and I don't like it. I've been watching the TV show Team Knight Rider and I don't like it. But my thought was that I don't know if they'd ever do it like a... Because there's a Twisted Metal TV series coming up.
It's you saw that clip?
I did see that clip. Well, speaking of Anthony Mackie.
Yeah.
And is it going to be live cars? Is it going to be anything real at all? Because I feel like... The 90s, around that era, was probably the last time we get real cars in a TV series.
Because you had to.
Because you had to, and you couldn't just CG everything. But nowadays it's like, well, okay, we could do real cars, but then we'd have to think of the stunts in advance.
Yeah.
And
about to block off a street.
We have to block off a street, and it's dangerous and all this sort of stuff.
And it's dangerous.
But we'll just CG it now. Mm. And so they're not – like that's a kind of show they wouldn't make now because – You couldn't do it live and it wouldn't look interesting CG.
Yeah.
So, but what's Twisted Metal going to be? Is it CG?
I don't know.
Because the clip we saw has no cars in it at all.
It's a guy.
Which makes me think they haven't done any of it yet.
No, I think it's done, isn't it? Isn't it out in like August?
I don't know.
Or July?
Maybe they haven't finished the.
Isn't the point of that cars though?
Yeah, it's a
like
cars.
That's the clip they release.
Yeah. Where it's Anthony Mackie being beaten up
by the clown
who drives the ice cream truck.
Yeah.
So.
And then they sing?
But did they? Yeah, they did the thong song. Did they? Have we seen a behind the scenes footage or a backlot photo of the cars? Maybe they built the cars or something.
I mean, they probably.
Maybe I imagine that, but
yeah, no, there probably has been.
Okay,
yeah.
But are they actually using those?
Sweet Tooth, that's his name.
Are they actually using those for action sequences, or are they just like display
stand next
cars?
To them and
just stand next to them.
Like,
cars.
Wow, what a.
I mean, it wouldn't shock me at all if they have finished all the filming, but they haven't done any of the car chase stuff yet.
The deadline's approaching. They're like, did we film any of that car chase stuff we were supposed to?
No, we said we didn't have to. they said we don't want to get it. We don't want to do another Team Knight Rider.
Yeah.
You know? So we just got the boffins to do it.
Good.
In their computers.
Smart. Like it. Mason.
Mm-hmm.
There has been, much to your chagrin, no doubt,
more
Indiana Jones 5 screenings.
Oh, I like Indiana
Jones 5. And people
Jones
are saying,
5.
Get ready for this,
uh-huh.
That it's actually not that bad.
Oh, nice. Terrific.
So you were like, great, James. Look at you with your hopes all dashed.
That's
look
right.
at you, you miserable prick.
I said.
Yeah.
I said.
Because I was like, I was wanted to see a good movie, and maybe it's not going to be good, and you loved it.
Yeah.
Laughed in my face.
I laughed in your face, and I said I'm also laughing at the faces of everybody who listens to this podcast who also might think the same as you, i.e. a big dummy.
Exactly. But here's the thing.
Yes.
So bad news for Indiana Jones, though. It's currently tracking, and this could change.
Yes.
For a $60 million US opening.
That's not good, I don't
this
think.
This movie costs like $400 million or whatever it did.
And it's going to streaming in 2 days.
That's right. Yeah, 2 days before it comes out.
That's right.
But Crystal Skull opened to $100 million over a three-day weekend. Mm-hmm. Now, to put Kathleen Kennedy aside, because I need to say that, because people will be like, this is Kathleen Kennedy. And sure, there are definitely elements of that because she runs Lucasfilm. But normal people don't not see a movie because of that. Normal
right,
people
yeah.
don't know who Kathleen Kennedy
That's
is.
That's absolutely true.
A lot of
yeah.
people like online.
I didn't know Kathleen Kennedy had anything to do with this.
No. I mean, not.
And in fairness, I don't pay attention to this podcast.
But like you'll see like YouTube channels and comments and forums that it's like, it's all Kathleen Kennedy. Again, most people, normal people just see Indiana Jones.
That's right.
But I think that.
And they know they're going to get a face full of bullwhip if they do.
But I think that might be a problem because.
Is the time of Indiana Jones past?
Yeah, it's not like it's a brand that they've kept up.
Yeah.
You know, the last one was 2008.
Yeah.
If people even have remember that at this point.
Yeah, that's a
There's
lot,
been
yeah.
no video games, no comics, no books, no TV shows, nothing.
No breakfast cereal?
Yeah.
Indios?
Yes.
Where are my frosted Indios, you know?
I feel like with a lot of these like legacy brands and sequels, like Blade Runner, Tron, I mean, obviously, it's bigger than both of those.
Where's my Indiana Jones and the Temple of Yums?
That's right.
The little hearts.
Yeah, I get it.
You put the milk in and the milk all goes red.
And they go boom, 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 boom. Yeah. Because they're real rabbit hearts.
Yeah.
But, like, is it going to be that kind of situation where it comes out and bombs? Or is it, like, going to, like, Top Gun it slightly, where who knew that everybody loved Top Gun?
Yeah.
And I guess
maybe it'll dad movie.
If you make it. And here's the other thing. Because I feel like people our age or older are the demographic, right? Mm-hmm. Like my son is like, he knows because like I know Indiana Jones. Right. But he does, we saw the trailer.
You pretend you know Indiana Jones.
No, pretend I met him. He's cool.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, because we saw the trailer at Rise of the Beast and he was like, all right, what? Yeah, I know that guy. He's Han Solo or whatever. But he's not, I'm not going to take him and he doesn't want to see it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering whether it's our age and older, but... Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not tracking because people our age or older don't pre-book.
Yeah, why? I've never bought a ticket this far in advance.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it doesn't look good is what I'm saying, and it doesn't matter to me whether it doesn't do good. I'm not trying to defend it.
Right,
I'm just curious to see how this is going to shake out.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had a couple of thoughts. One we talked about earlier before the show started, but is this going to be one of these situations where everybody's decided to pile on a thing before it comes out and then there'll be a critical reevaluation later where people are like, oh, no, it was good.
Right.
But there's sometimes what happens is people in the media and generally go, oh, this is one we can make fun of.
Yeah.
Let's absolutely crush this and then everybody sort of jumps along with that.
Yeah.
But that's happened to us a few times, I think.
Yeah, sure. Give an example.
I know my opinions are always correct.
Okay.
And they're always vindicated later.
What's something I said though then? Where I went along with something and actually it was the best movie ever made.
Oh, all the things you say.
Oh yeah, Goodfellas.
Yeah, that's right. You called it Bad Fellas.
I said it Bad Fellas. Yeah. And I said that because actually if you look at those people closely in the movie, they're not nice people.
That's right. You said you said Bad Fellows also because that's how you would spell it.
That's how I would spell
O-W-S.
It. I'm just out of the loop.
But I think maybe you're right in the sense of it's a little bit like the Terminator franchise, where I thought the last one, Dark Fate, if you can even recall, was the best one since 2.
Yeah.
And I'm vindicated.
Yeah.
And you were wrong.
No, I said it was. No, I said the same.
You're right.
I said literally the same, Mason.
I remember.
But maybe they shouldn't have made 3 bad ones.
Yeah, well, exactly it. The 3 bad ones and nothing else really.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Yeah, that's true. And you're right that nobody's been, they haven't been keeping up, they don't keep up the IP. And then people are like, and you just go, what was the last thing? Oh, the last one that was bad. The last thing.
Yeah.
Nobody remembers the classics or whatever it is. Like, you know, kids these days haven't seen Last Crusade, for example. You know,
that's right. Yeah. And are people just like Harrison Ford? Isn't he like a million fucking years old? Mm. I don't know.
Yeah,
but is it a dad goes to the movie?
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
Where he goes up and he goes, one ticket by myself, please.
That's right.
Is that the situation?
Could
here?
Be, yeah.
Yeah, because that's what I'll be doing.
Mm. Also, I think they should have gotten AI Sean Connery and put him in Indy's whip.
Yeah,
so he's got a companion. Whatcha, it would say. Whatcha.
And that's all?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Well, it's the 60s, so it wouldn't do a lot other than whatcha.
That's right.
Maybe the whip gets hurt. Ow!
Junior, let me whip that man's hat off. Whatcha.
Now let me whip him on the face.
Whatcha.
I love being a whip. Mason?
Yes?
Speaking of old people doing movies.
Oh, expend 4 balls? It's time to expend 4 balls, folks.
Trailers all way for expend 4 balls. Did you know they filmed this?
Yeah, so that. Well, I didn't know. I had some idea. Look, no. I sound very confused and I am. I've seen the trailer, but that sprung out of nowhere.
Yep.
And I was under the impression, speaking of Terminator, I was under the impression that there were plans some maybe years ago that it was going to be all girl Expendables.
It was girl Expendables.
And it was going to have like Linda Hamilton.
Girl Spendables.
Well, girls do Spendables, you know what I mean?
I hear
girls
you, man.
Do Spendables, I tell you that.
Whoa.
Much. It's undeniable. Some stereotypes are true and girls Spendables.
Man, you really are in your grub era.
But it was going to be Linda Hamilton and, I don't know.
Maybe Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver, they'd put in Michelle Yeoh and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But now it's just sort of just the same Expendables from previously, but also Megan Fox is in it
And someone else is in it.
Oh, they could have got Cynthia Rothrock. They could have got all sorts of.
Tony Jaa's in this one. Maybe he was in the last one. I don't know.
I think, it's tough to say. Statham is back, if in fact he was gone.
No, he wasn't gone.
Was he in the last couple?
I don't know. Hate these movies.
Well, I've only seen three and I hate it. Yeah, which everybody said was the best one.
Yeah,
and
I fell asleep during one and then I didn't like three.
And there's, you know, some fun jokes. Dolph Lundgren's like, oh, I've got a prescription sniper scope or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a bit of fun.
50 Cent. Is it?
50 Cent is in this one. He's one of the new Expendables.
He's a new buck. He's a new young buck.
That's right.
50-year-old 50 Cent. No, I wouldn't say I hate them. I feel like they kind of go off the idea of, like, remember these guys.
Yeah, right.
But that's not enough.
No, it's not.
Like, yeah, I remember them, but can you have them do something interesting?
Yeah.
And the last one leaked. Do you remember?
Vaguely, yeah.
It leaked, and then they kind of blame that on an underperforming. Right. But then if you look at, like, the torrenting numbers.
Andy Garcia's in this.
Andy Garcia, yeah.
Face of the cinema, Andy Garcia.
But if you look at the torrent numbers for number three, it wasn't getting torrented.
Mm.
So people weren't downloading it and not going.
Yeah,
it just kind of underperformed.
Yeah, right.
Which makes me think these must be done on the cheap.
Yeah. Oh,
anyway,
absolutely.
No Arnold, though, in this one either, it seems.
No.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, some of the CG in this looked very bad in this trailer.
That's what I like.
There was a truck leaping a thing and it just looked off. Oh, and was there some very bad, like, look at this secret military base or whatever, and it just looked awful? Am I thinking of another?
It does feel like one of those straight-to-DVD Stallone movies or whatever.
Also, their tagline is, they'll die when they're dead.
Yeah.
Again, it's a real 1 = 1 situation.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not wrong.
Yeah.
Also, the other fun thing to note is that Jason Statham and Megan Fox's characters are a couple, seemingly.
Okay.
But Jason Statham in real life is married to Rosie Huntington-Whiteley, who replaced Megan Fox in the Transformers franchise. Oh, isn't that God. A bit of fun?
Isn't that illegal?
Yeah, I think it's illegal, but that's what makes it fun.
Well, this was shot in international waters. That's
you can do anything.
Yeah.
It was Statham split his time between this and the Meg 2. Just move from room to room. Or he got all the other people to leave.
What am I kicking in this room? A big green box, all right, mate. No worries.
Okay, so I'm kicking this big green box for the Meg 2 and Expendables. Is that right? You just added later. All right. And then in Expendables, he's kicking Andy Garcia in the hand.
He's kicking Megan Fox. They put her in. Ah, Mason. Anyways, anything can be good.
Not this, though.
Including Expendables.
I guess.
Let's be positive.
Okay.
Good movies can happen.
Mm.
Sometimes you watch a movie and you go, good movies are back.
Who's paying for this?
It's a great question.
Because, like, when I look at this sort of stuff, I guess the question is, because, like, you know, when you talk...
Who's paying for this? Because,
you know, when we talk Netflix movies, a lot of the time it seems it's because your Netflix or any of those, Amazon Prime, something like that, it's because they have an infinite supply of money, seemingly, until the investors realize what's happening. Which hasn't happened yet, which is
no,
wild.
You're right, yeah.
But it's where they're like, we can give everybody $30 million or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't think that this is it.
No.
There's no way this is it. So is it a case of just they all like hanging out and they may as well make a movie together? Is that it?
So it's made by Millennium Media and Campbell Grobman Films.
Oh, it's a Grobman joint.
It's a Grobman joint. But it's being distributed
These guys are in their grob era. Yeah,
but it's being distributed by Lionsgate.
Yeah, right.
Because Lionsgate, I guess, wouldn't pay for this.
Yes.
So there you go.
Okay.
It was also written by, you're going to love these names.
Oh, I don't know anything about Millennium Media, but I recognize the logo.
Yeah. So it's Kurt Wimner, Max Adams, and Tad Daggerhart wrote this one.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Let me check out Millennium Media and Campbell Grobman Films. All right. So they are.
In 2005, they made movies including Raging Sharks, Mosquito Man, Snake Man, Bloodsuckers, The Chum Scrubber.
Oh, yeah.
And so forth. Oh, they made 16 Blocks. You remember that movie?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, okay.
Some people consider that like the last Die Hard movie, like for real.
Oh, wow.
If that's the one I'm thinking of with Bruce Willis. Is that the Bruce Willis one?
Yes, Bruce Willis and Mos Def is in it,
yeah,
I think.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool. Campbell Grobman Films, you might know, they're responsible for Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D. In 2013, the 2013 movie Reality Show, Chuck,
the TV series Chuck,
no, it's different. Levi? It's a 2016 sports drama.
I don't know what that is.
The Hitman's Bodyguard.
Oh yeah,
The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard.
Okay,
Leatherface,
mm-hmm.
Rambo: Last Blood.
same movie, if you ask me.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Hellboy, but only new Hellboy.
Okay, all right.
The movie Tesla, which is a biographical drama film written and directed by Michael somebody. It stars Ethan Hawke. And the movie Jolt.
Okay.
Which was a Kate Beckinsale kind of Atomic Heart situation.
Well, I love all of that. Situation. I love all of that stuff. I agree. That's great.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Look forward to that movie when it comes out, when it gets leaked to Pirate Bay or whatever.
I just had a thought of, like, there's two movies being made on the same lot and, like, next to each other, and it's both groups of people who are just making the movies because they love hanging out together, and it's the Expend Four Balls team, and then it's, like, Wes Anderson making a movie, like, just next door. And they're all living in fear that the Expend Four Balls guys are going to show up and beat them up.
They've got to break through the wall. Okay, so it says that Expend Three Balls cost $90 to $100 million, and this one is $100 million. But I mean, that would go to the cast, right? And like Stallone?
Yeah, you'd think so.
Yeah, anyway, we've talked too much about Expend Four Balls.
We really have, yeah.
Mason, this is why the
whole thing. For a thing maybe we'll maybe watch on a slow week.
Well, yeah, if it's a slow week.
Yeah.
The Hot Mic podcast, they've got a scoop and a rumor about Nintendo and Illumination. Apparently, they are closing a deal for a big Zelda movie.
Ooh.
So that's fun, et cetera. Because obviously, Breath of the Wild number 2 came out, and people are like, this has changed my life. I'll never be the same, et cetera. It's a perfect time off the back of Mario doing really well. Mm-hmm. Who's an awful choice for Link?
Chris Pratt.
Yeah, you reckon? I was going to say Jared Leto. Okay. But Pratt again.
I mean,
he doesn't talk.
Well, I was going to say anybody is a bad choice. Sometimes he doesn't talk, right?
Yeah, well, Mario mostly doesn't talk either.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. So what kind of approach here do you think they're going to take? They're going to do a Breath of the Wild. Are they going to do an Ocarina of Time? Are they going to do one of the boring top-down ones or whatever?
I mean, I know
they're actually good. Don't at me.
It would make most sense to do it in the Breath of the Wild style, right?
Breath of the Wild.
The Breath of the Wild style, right? Mm. Could he be a silent protagonist?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. I'm not.
Does he technically talk in those games, but we can't hear him?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah, and I've played Breath of the Wild. Sorry, Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild. Yeah, I don't think he talks in that one, does he?
Yeah, no. Yeah. Well, he doesn't talk, but I'm wondering. Is it that he talks but we don't hear him and people respond as if he does talk? It's just we don't hear his voice.
Sure. Mm. Then yes.
Great.
Yeah.
Terrific.
But, you know, this will do very well. I would say that Zelda isn't as big a property as Mario. Yep. Not by much, but this will go gangbusters. Yeah.
Zelda sort of lacks the pick up and play that a Mario game does, I think. So
true.
That is sort of shrunk the user base a little bit. But
they're still enormous games, and they have been for 30 years or whatever. Exactly, so, there you go.
Wow. Nintendo's seen those dollar signs.
They certainly are. What other – should they do a Donkey Kong? Should they do a Rad Racer? Should they do a
– F-Zero?
F-Zero.
No. Should they – answer.
No?
No.
They shouldn't do an F-Zero. Should they do a Star Fox?
Well, they should see how Twisted Metal does before they do an F-Zero. Bad. Maybe too poorly.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's other racing games that they do ahead of that, though, right? I was going to say Mario Kart, but they did that already.
Do Pilot Wings?
Could do Pilot Wings. You know, think like Star Fox would be like Star Wars, but they're all fucking animals or whatever?
Why have they done...
Not they're all fucking animals.
Sure.
You get it.
I get it. Why haven't they done anything new Star Fox lately?
That's a great question because I like those games. Mm. The Wii U one was apparently terrible and they had to use the thing to like, I don't know, to navigate and shoot and people hated it.
Interesting.
And the one before that, on GameCube, I think they repackaged like another game to make it Star Fox. So there's like running on the ground shooting and hate this.
Okay.
But if you go back to like Star Fox like 64, it was called something else here, I think.
Star Wing.
Mm. Then, it's basically just Star Wars.
Yeah.
But they're good.
Mm.
Cool.
To answer your question, I don't know.
Yeah. No. What was my question?
What other Nintendo stuff should be made into a
That's a great.
Mm.
What about Double Dragon again?
Sure, maybe.
Double Dragon, but again, Triple Dragon, Three Dragons. This is by THR. Mm-hmm. Apparently James Gunn will be testing some actors soon for various roles in his Superman movie, Superman Lives. Superman, Lois Lane, Lex Luthor, and The Authority apparently be introduced in this one.
That's interesting.
So, yeah. I mean, they're building out a big universe, aren't they?
They are. I wonder how that's interesting.
Mm.
Because there's a – so for people who do not know, I think it was made in an animated movie as well.
Yep.
It was a – Superman, there was a two-issue run called What's So Funny About Truth, Justice, and the American Way.
What's so funny?
Great question, James. And it's Superman fighting a team called the Elite.
Yeah.
Who are like they're like Superman-level superheroes, but they don't care about like property damage or
are they Superman-level, you know?
Oh, that's a good question. Mm. But they were based on the Authority.
Yeah.
So because the
British guy.
Yeah,
another
yeah.
one.
That's right. Yes.
A girl, probably.
Yes.
Three members.
Yes, at least three.
Four.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Five.
But they were based on the Authority, who were an image team at the time, because yeah. the Authority were, like, you know, very popular, and they were just like, we're
very popular.
We're very popular in it, right? But they were about, they were like big action, but there was no, you know, they didn't care about the consequences. They didn't care about civilian deaths and all this
yeah,
sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so the idea was a couple of issues that sort of thought about, well, where does Superman fit in this universe where everybody's real cool and they have superpowers and they don't care about the consequences
Great
and
question.
Whatever. And, yeah, so maybe at least something like that.
Yeah, it's like, why am I even doing this? There's a guy who's way cooler than me.
That's right.
Maybe they need a big dork.
Yeah,
maybe
sure.
the world needs a big dork,
yeah,
Mason.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some big dorks, though.
I'm ready.
I love this headline from comicbookmovie.com, which used to be the official. We used to be the official podcast.
That's right.
And I like to think we still are.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Right. Anyway, the headline
Should we put it back in the description?
This is by Josh Wilding, whose headline is, "The Flash reviews are in and it definitely doesn't sound like the best superhero movie ever made."
Oh, no.
So there's been more reactions.
Mm.
We
call them hot reacts.
We do. There's a bunch of stuff that's been spoiled already.
Mm.
I've been mostly spoiled three at this point.
Mm,
I'm seeing it this week.
Yeah.
But they're just putting it out. Like, people are seeing it in regular cinemas and whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
And I would say reactions have been mixed to good.
Mm.
But off the back of that.
With the occasional really mean one thrown
yeah,
in there.
Yeah. This looks like shit.
It's
fucking hated that. God damn it.
Mm.
Yeah. This is, so
I'd rather be watching Expend Four Balls.
I wouldn't. So Stephen King has come out and loved it. James Gunn loved it.
Tom Cruise
said it was incredible. Mm. David Zaslav, head of Warner Brothers Discovery.
I love content, he said.
He said, I love content.
For now.
Said it was the best comic book movie ever made.
He's never seen anything.
No.
Like, not even just superhero movies. He's never seen anything like that.
Yeah, I agree. He's probably read a book on, I don't know, the stock market. That's what he said. You don't think?
I think maybe he's listened to some of an audiobook. I reckon maybe one of his assistants has listened to an audiobook and summarized it in like a one-page executive summary that they read to him.
Yeah.
And he wasn't listening.
But it wasn't because he was watching something.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You know, everyone's saying it's the best since The Dark Knight and whatever. Mm. I saw somebody put together a graphic this week, which was, it's like the past 12 DC movies, and it's all Shazam 2 is the best since The Dark Knight.
Wow.
This is the best since The Dark Knight, et cetera. Anyways, apparently, according to THR, anyway, so reactions are, I would say, maybe lower your expectations a little bit going into this. Not me. I'm hyped and I can't be stopped.
That's great.
But THR said that Andy Muschietti, who directed this, is the top choice to direct the Batman feature, The Brave and the Bold.
Ah, yes.
Though multiple sources tell THR there's no script and thus no formal commitment from the filmmaker. This will all happen post-writer's strike.
Mm.
I think him doing this also depends on how this does.
Mm.
Though apparently James Gunn really likes it, so that would go a long way.
No, but he released one of those reviews that said it sucks.
Did he?
Yeah.
I was joking. You fell for it. This sucks. Do you think he likes it because, if it is bad, because it resets the universe?
Yes. And anything he makes after this has to be good by comparison.
Just in time for Aquaman 2.
That's right.
The other thing is, this is from an insider, that CEO David Zaslav and DC Studio.
You think the insider is James Gunn?
Yes. No, because DC Studio co-head James Gunn have publicly said the feature is among the greatest superhero movies of all time. This has sparked a bemused head shaking from some at Warners who question the wisdom of setting such high expectations. This is a quote from one insider. It can't be the studio telling you it's good. Your friends have to tell you it's good. That's true.
Makes you think, doesn't it? That's quite profound.
Yeah. Anyway, look forward to a completely speechless Ezra Miller going to the premiere for this and getting one photo taken and then quickly being ushered into a van.
Yeah, it's all the actor. Every red carpet thing I've seen so far, it's the actor playing Supergirl.
Yeah.
Whose name I cannot recall.
Sasha
Carl. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, yeah. It's all been her making a lot of appearances.
Yeah.
No Michael Keaton, because why would he go out for this?
Why would he go out for anything?
I'm sure he has expressly in his contract, it's like no press for this.
Yeah.
Zero press.
Do not press
I'll not answer any questions about who would win in a fight between anyone.
Because, because I don't care.
Mm.
There's no part of me that cares about any of that. So anyway, next week, The Flash.
Mm.
Let's see, eh?
It next week.
Yeah.
These two. All right.
Absolutely.
Right. I'm very excited.
Me too, maybe.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Transformers Rise of Those Beasts. It's the latest Transformers movie to hit cinemas.
You gotta rise those beasts.
You gotta. You gotta get a real rise out of them, Mason.
That's right.
And how do you do that?
Poke them with a stick.
Yeah, or you steal something that they need.
Oh, yeah, chip or a heart or a
key or a door.
Key, door, orb. Spark.
Heart of something.
Yeah, nice.
Et cetera.
Terrific.
On a budget of $200 million, the first box office weekend, Mason, in the US alone.
Is it bad?
No, that's okay. It's going to make about $55 to $60 million.
Okay.
We don't know yet whether it's going to top Spider-Verse, but they're both going to make around that.
Right.
Now, that is more money than Bumblebee made in its first weekend, but compared to like the biggest movies, which is like most of the Bay ones.
Yes, and even bigger movies generally.
Less.
Mm.
Yeah, so this is definitely a brand like still rebuilding
right,
at this point.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they made four bad movies in a row and then Bumblebee.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways, what do you
think? And Hobbs and Shaw.
And Hobbs and Shaw, that's right.
It's unrelated, but it feels related, doesn't it?
It does feel related.
Yeah.
I don't know who's responsible, but it does feel related. We're going to do non-spoilers, then spoilers. There is some actual spoilers in this as well, I would say. One at the end.
Oh, yeah, right.
If you don't know the big thing that that I knew going into this.
Okay.
What do you think the story was?
Well, this is sort of a sequel to Bumblebee and sort of a prequel to the other Transformers movies, maybe.
No, because Unicron is in the Earth in one of those
it
movies.
It could be two Unicrons.
Two Unicrons?
Have you ever met another guy called James? Of course you have.
Have I met another Unicron, though?
You don't get out much, though, do you?
I don't.
Yeah.
Into space.
Yeah.
I don't do a lot of space travel
That's
these
what I
days.
Thought.
Not
yeah,
since
yeah.
being a parent.
Anyway, some of the Transformers are on Earth.
Yep.
And they're like, what if there's a key?
Yep.
And if some bad guys found a key, they'd open up a gateway and then Unicron would come out and he'd eat everything.
Now, this key is
better stop that.
Is it in one place?
No. No. Transformers are going to have to go on a series of adventures to get the key and whatever.
Yeah.
Exotic locales.
Sure.
They're going to meet the beast, the Maximals and that.
They're going to meet the Maximals.
Yeah.
Meet the Maximals.
Nice.
Transformers meet the Maximals.
Mm.
You should have just said, when I said, what do you think the story was?
Oh, yes.
We got to get the thing.
That is true, yeah.
What if we don't get it? Who knows?
Yep.
Portal or whatever.
So again, like this is your classic Transformers movie. You're not going to be bowled over by the premise, I don't think, or the plot. They just need to get a thing. They need to get an orb and close a gate or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but that, I mean, that, you know, it's part and parcel with a lot of this sort
of
stuff.
Well, they all do.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
a space seed. It's a door bridge. It's mm-hmm. a
drawbridge.
It's a unicorn box.
Yeah, yeah, it's a, yep.
It's a bold bit of cheese.
That's right.
It's a laser that opens a laser. It's just so much.
Nice. But anyway, what are we in for in this? Why are we watching this movie? Because there's Transformers we like.
That's right.
And do we care about the Transformers? Do we care about the characters, the human characters? What do you think about that?
I think one of them was written better than the others in terms of human characters.
Oh, yes.
And, yeah, the Transformers in this are more tolerable than they've been in a lot of the other movies.
So true.
This is definitely better than all of the Michael Bay ones, probably even the first one maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
They've all merged together and I hate it.
Yeah.
But I didn't think this was as good as Bumblebee.
Yeah,
I think if I saw this movie in 1994 – Which is the year that it was set.
That's right.
This would be the best movie I've ever seen.
Right.
But as an adult, I'm like, yeah. All right.
Okay, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It was a lot of it that just kind of like, get the thing and whatever. And then at the end when like what they said, they shouted maximize and the animals and they were fighting each other. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, all right, I understand this. I know who everybody is.
The action is, it's competently put together.
Definitely.
And you can tell where everybody is.
Yep.
I think that's nice. All the characters are distinguishable from one another.
Yeah, man.
I think the voice acting is pretty solid from everybody. I don't think there's enough time for everybody to get an arc. I'm not talking about the Transformers arc. I'm talking about a character arc.
He's not talking about the Ark of the Covenant either.
That's correct. That's a different franchise.
Yeah, man. Come on. Get with it.
That's right.
But I still think there were definitely moments where I'm like, this is missing something.
Okay.
Maybe.
Is it Hayley Steinfeld from the
previous
movie?
Yeah, I think maybe.
Is it John Cena from the previous movie?
I think that previous one had like more heart than this one had.
Because it was essentially just the two characters. It was one human and one Transformer. And so we had more time to build some emotional stakes there. I mean, they sort of attempt to do that again, I feel like.
Yeah.
But more of a buddy kind of situation.
Bro. I liked that relationship.
We got Anthony Ramos as Noah.
Yep.
And he's an ex-soldier. And he's trying to support his family, and he's like, "What do I want? Got to get a job, got to make it in the big city, kind of thing."
And he has the same mum as Miles Morales.
That's true.
That's right. Think about it.
Yeah, and he's teamed up with Mirage, played by Pete Davidson.
Yeah, who I thought was really good and charming.
Yeah,
he's I can see why. You know what I mean? I can see why those things keep happening with him. I get it.
Oh yeah.
I get it, Mason.
Yeah.
But Dominic Fishback, who plays the other human character,
Elena,
I thought was they really didn't give her that much to do, and her role was mostly inconsequential at the end,
which
we'll talk about more in spoilers.
You've got to use the computer.
Are you going to use it or what? Get in that vent. Nah, don't worry about it.
Tell you what, we'll just kill everybody, and then you can get on the computer to your heart's content later. Yeah, that's probably true, yeah. But, I mean, that's the consequence of a character who's sort of like the guy in the chair.
Yeah.
But you bring him out into the field. You know?
Absolutely.
Like they got a limit. If you're not shooting a gun in these movies, what do you got to do, really?
I think I wonder if Bumblebee wasn't set in like 1988 or whenever it's set.
Uh-huh.
Like, would this have been set in 1994?
No.
There's nothing about this other than maybe the soundtrack.
Or the operating system.
Or the operating system. But like there was never a moment where like the technology of the day stopped them from doing a thing.
No, that's true, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's definitely a result of, you know, the last one being set in the 80s. There was a moment where the little brother was like, I can't beat Bowser in Mario. There's no Mario game on the Game Boy with Bowser in it, Mason.
That's
I know that
Super
for a
Mario
fact.
Land doesn't have.
Get it right, idiot.
Wow.
Yeah, so anyway, it took me right out of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I liked Mirage. I enjoyed that they're going to stick with the Optimus Prime has gone completely insane with bloodlust.
I was under the impression
I thought he got better.
Peter Cullen had in interviews was like, yeah, I'm really enjoying playing Optimus Prime currently. And I'm like, oh, he's going to be back to his wonderful, noble leadership self. But he's like, I'm killing everybody.
I'm going to cut your head off. That's a literal line in this movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to cut your head off for the end of the movie. What does he? That's up to you to discover. Because there's a moment also where he meets Optimus Primal, and Optimus Primal's like, I was named after you. I fucking love you, man. You're the best. And then later he's like talking to his mates and he's like, something fucking wrong with that guy.
Yeah,
I thought he was cool. He's not cool.
This guy's off chops.
Something happened here. I don't know what it was.
And I'm a robot gorilla. I should know. This guy's messed up.
Let's talk about a couple of things. The Maximals.
Yes.
So
they're in it, aren't they?
They're in it. What did you think of ApeLink?
The other gorilla guy.
The other gorilla. I saw with my son and one of his friends, another friend of mine. He was the dad of the other kid.
Right. You don't have your son's friend isn't also your friend.
No, they're okay, different. Right. They're different people.
Would you call him your friend though?
The kid.
Yes.
No yeah. Kids are my friends, yeah, Mason. I'm not friends with children.
Yeah, they don't have enough. They got nothing to say, those kids.
No, he's a very cool kid. But so at the start, when Optimus Primal, who's a gorilla, was talking to Ape Link,
who's another robot gorilla. He's like the lead. He's like, but it's like his big, it's like his boss,
big brother, or whatever.
Yeah. He's like, I'm passing the transforming into a robot gorilla leadership to you. All right.
And my son and his friend, who loved it, by the way, they thought it was incredible. We're talking to each other, like, which they're like, literally, like, which is Optimus Primal? What is this? What's happening?
I have conversations with your son sometimes because I show up here a little bit earlier, whatever, and he's there. And again, he's seven or is he seven?
He's seven, yeah.
And so I have to be like, oh, sounds cool. And I can't just launch into criticisms. It's upsetting to me sometimes.
So
didn't you find the plot quite derivative, yeah, young man?
I mean, seriously, a key? Top of a portal? A skybeam again? But as I was speaking to the guy I went with, also, and he looked up Ape Link in the car on the way back, and it was some kind of 2002. It started as like some kind of TransformerCon exclusive, and it's a robot, and it's a gorilla that turns into a robot, and also a gorilla riding a surfboard. Like that's like the I want to see the surfboard gorilla.
Right?
Didn't get it though, did we?
They were around water for some of it.
He got on
his surfboard. People would have cheered.
They would have said, "Woo!"
Like, oh, it's Ape Link's on his surfboard.
Ape Link. I love how they have to keep their names.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I really like the designs when they stuck to like the G1 kind of stuff.
Mm.
I thought Optimus looked great.
Doesn't have his trailer though, does he?
Doesn't have his trailer.
They make a point. He's got the, because he's a White's Freightliner.
Yeah.
And they've really leaned into like, this is the thing you want, right?
Yeah. You got it.
It's got Freightliner on it.
So. That's right. The Maximals, I quite like the designs of it. I thought RC looked great.
Mm.
I think the stuff, yeah, that kind of stuck to the like slight variations of the original designs were good.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a number of them that are somewhat like Michael Bay-esque. You know, like one's got glasses.
Oh,
you know,
right, okay, yeah.
It's like those ones are just like, like the villains are kind of generic-ish kind of.
Yeah, they have that Nitro Zeus kind of vibe to them.
Exactly.
I don't know, because there were basically two villains in Bumblebee.
Yeah.
And they were both triple changed, and I thought they were quite interesting.
I liked them.
Those designs were pretty good, I think. But these ones are just so sort of.
Scourge just turns into a truck.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah.
We've seen that.
We have seen that.
There's another guy in this movie who turns into a truck.
Mm.
And he's like, Optimus Prime is like, he's too strong, I can't stop him, he's too strong. Just wait a bit. Just wait till the end of the movie. You might be able to.
Yeah, I mean, if I were to be critical about this movie, and I will be because your son isn't here to have his hopes and dreams crushed. Yeah, I mean, it's that classic Transformers thing that we've seen throughout pretty much the entire franchise, which is what can kill a Transformer or harm a Transformer? What can
bring it back?
What can bring it back? Like, what can bring a Transformer back? You know, you can get stabbed through the chest and you're fine.
Yep.
You can get your limbs or head removed and just put back on, or sometimes you just get zapped with a thing and you die.
Yeah, man.
But what can bring you back? Well, I guess this can bring you back, but only if it's been energized by a thing or whatever.
Yeah, man.
Or can just a guy put you back together, like a regular man can just put you back together and then you're fine again?
Yeah, good questions.
I mean, this goes back all the way to Transformers the movie.
Yes.
Where, like, Optimus Prime dies and he's done, and then Ultra Magnus is torn to pieces and they're just like, yeah, just put him back together and he's fine, I guess.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, or like there are villains who are invincible until they're just not for a bit.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I look, obviously, I didn't love it, but I feel like it did do a number of Transformers things that I did like.
Mm.
As a non-fan, I can't imagine that you would like this as an adult, right? Probably.
I didn't hate it.
No, if you were a non-fan of Transformers.
Oh, if I was not a fan, right. I don't know. It's got a classic kind of, you know,
really like get the thing and whatever.
Yeah,
and
but it's also, I think, like emotionally, it's like, okay, but you've got to remember to, you know, you got to support one another, and you've got. It's, I mean, it's for kids, but it's, you know, it's,
yeah,
got,
exactly.
You got
on that level, yeah, it totally works.
You got to support one another, and you know, work together with your friends and your family, and that's how you win, and that sort of stuff. And that's you know, a bit of fun. I thought.
What about the bit where they're like, Marky Mark is going to do movies or whatever? Because he was in some of these
that's
movies,
right.
But he was
yeah,
in really terrible ones,
yeah, that's
wasn't
true.
He?
It's a bit of a fun reference, isn't it?
And I guess my question is also in regards to like what they can turn into. There's a moment where Mirage goes through a number of different forms. It was just like, look, and he does his original form at one point. And there's a moment where he changes into a garbage truck. I don't like that these Transformers aren't locked into a mode.
Okay, but I think he's the only one that isn't.
Really? Because Bumblebee can do it.
Yeah, but he's only done it once and he doesn't do it for the... But everybody else is in there. I suspect they're trying to subtly change the rules to be like, okay, some characters can do it and some can't.
Okay.
Because nobody else changes.
And if he changes into a garbage truck,
yes.
Is the back bit of the garbage truck a hologram, I assume? Because he's not the size of a garbage truck unless he's a size change guy.
Yeah,
which I don't know whether he is. Something to think about.
Maybe the mass is the same.
Yeah.
So the back of the garbage truck is very, very,
very thin.
You know?
So you could just poke it with your finger.
You just poke it with your finger and it'd burst, yeah.
Wow.
And all the garbage would spill out because he's filled it with garbage.
He's filled with garbage.
For an authentic smell.
You got to be. I will say, though, I ask these questions, but honestly, who cares?
Exactly right.
Who cares?
All-star voice cast, though, Peter Cullen, we mentioned. Yep. Ron Perlman's Optimus Primal.
Yep.
Peter Dinklage is the bad guy. Michelle Yeoh, we got. Pete Davidson.
Yep.
Liz Koch, you don't know who that is. That's
She's a YouTube influencing person. Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was Awkwafina for a second.
I did also. Yeah.
Because she was just...
in something else.
She was just in The Little Mermaid as the seagull.
She was a big seagull.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And John DiMaggio is another Transformer in there. Yeah, so that's a bit of fun.
I think he does a few different voices in this, yeah. And
Bumblebee obviously has no voice actor again.
So. Yeah, good, great. Yeah. Love that. Love that thing they've stuck with. At least he is a little bit smarter, I guess, somewhat. He's pretty cool.
I think they should have just given him his voice back.
I 100% agree. Yeah. Dylan O'Brien voiced him in the last movie. He did a really good job. Yeah. Should we do some spoilers?
Yeah. I'm going to say best movie ever. I certainly wasn't like, what a waste of time. I think the designs were all cool and fun. It was a bit, I would say, speaking of Transformers, I thought it was a bit pedestrian.
Yeah. Yes.
But otherwise, I think I had a pretty fun time.
I thought... Look, as a kids movie, if you like Transformers,
yes.
This is an A+.
Mm.
As an adult,
it's an A- because Optimus Prime didn't have his trailer.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It's an A- because of the trailer thing. But I don't know. I just didn't – I was like, fine.
Yeah.
I was expecting a little bit more out of this, especially because I like the director of this. I liked, I like so much of this, and when they maximized, that was cool.
Stephen Cable directed Creed 2.
Yeah, exactly. I really like Creed 2. Yeah.
Okay.
But I understand also these need to be...
And he's 35. How do you like that?
I love it.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, I can't believe somebody who's older than me made a movie like this. 10 years older than me, basically.
Well.
But I think...
All right, now what are we in spoilers?
Well, I was just going to say, there's certain beats that you got to hit for these, you know what I mean? True. And whatever.
Certain beasts you've got to hit.
Sure, and it did all of that. Mm. I would love to see some combiner stuff, but not like that looks like shit. Like the one that he devastated. Just
oh,
like
my God.
He'd be a pile of rolling trash.
Yeah, he'd be a big New York guy, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
He'd be all the different...
He'd be all like, forget about it.
Yeah,
They'd all be forgetting about it.
Would be forgetting about it, and that's his weakness.
Yeah, that's right.
It'd be like he doesn't have any weaknesses. Ah, but he forgot about
it. Imagine if you saw like Bruticus or something, one.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Something else.
Yeah.
Anyways, this is one of three, apparently, excluding some other ones that they're making. This is the first of a trilogy.
Oh. Anyway, if this is successful.
Yeah. Right. Spoilers, though. Bumblebee dies, Mirage dies, and the bird dies.
Yeah.
The bird is the only one that actually dies, maybe.
Air Razor. But again, based on previous Transformers movies, if they think of a cool new design for her, she'll just come back.
She'll be a bird again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That bird was a bird.
Well, that bird turned into a helicopter or whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
What happened to the plane? What didn't the plane help for?
Well, he was too busy being, he had the Fast X cast in him. He's crashing into a mountain.
Is that where he was?
Yeah.
How did you feel about those ones dying but not really?
Classic.
Yeah.
Mm.
It was strange to me that I was surprised they picked Bumblebee. I mean, I knew he was going to come back.
Right.
I was like, oh, you picked him on the people like.
Yeah.
So that, kudos,
and
I guess.
Also, I think it was they undercut the death of Mirage by bringing him back. In the mid credits.
I mean, that was always going to happen, though, right?
I guess. Yeah.
And he had to sacrifice himself so that we could do an Iron Man suit.
That's true. Yeah.
And also, like the Transformers suit, sort of from the
Transformers the movie,
but not really because this one doesn't transform. It's just got a big jet on the back.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? It looked like the G.I. Joe power suit.
Well.
Well.
Wait. Let's talk about. Look. I think they should come up with some firm rules about killing or not killing the characters. And I would be okay with them just not killing the characters, because that's sort of was a staple of the cartoon forever.
Or, like, and then you make one movie where they kill all the characters.
Yes, that's right.
Like the original movie. Right.
And then as you're leaving, they inspect all your children's pockets, and if they've got any of those Transformers in their pockets, they snap them in half in front of your kids and go, no, new Transformers only.
So I guess before we get to the bigger thing.
The bigger non-nothing thing.
Is that they need to get the key, and the key is in two parts. Mm. And there's a moment where Anthony Ramos is like, we should just destroy this key. But Optimus is like, well, if you destroy the key, I can't go home, and I'll probably kill you if you do that.
Mm, yeah, yeah. I am on the edge, let me tell you.
But anyway, at the end.
And then Anthony Ramos is like,
I won't,
because you're absolutely right. You've made an impassioned speech and threatened me. And you're right, and we'll find another way. And then the bad guys immediately steal the key. And Optimus Prime's like, whoops.
Well, I guess I'm just going to hit it with a sword.
Yeah.
And then explode it anyway. Mm. And that was just after Dominic Fishback's character, whose whole point in this movie was to decipher a code to put it in the computer to close the space beam, which Unicron was coming through, but she didn't, because somebody shot the terminal.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean in terms of, like, what is this character even doing?
If I was one of the Terracons, the bad guys, I would have summoned Unicron and then just shot the terminal.
Yeah, man.
Because then what, I mean.
Then Optimus Prime would have hit it with a sword, though.
Yes, that's true.
You didn't think about that, did you?
Yeah.
Isn't it weird that this is the second time this year that a villain's face has come off in a movie?
Yeah, that's true.
Because I like the bit where Mirage fought Scourge, because he's like, he's got an interesting skill set.
And he's the underdog.
And like Bumblebee is a bit of that in some of the
and
movies.
And he did it while Scourge was still invulnerable for a minute. Like 10 more minutes.
And he used his holograms and stuff.
Yeah, that was fun.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Optimus Prime came in and went, oh, I'm going to do this now.
Yeah, I'll do it, I think.
Yeah. And held him under a volcano.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cut his head off and whatever with a sword.
Right.
Yeah, pretty great stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just that thing of like, he's invincible. He's powered by dark matter from
You'd think he'd get more powerful with Unicron closer.
You think he'd have a sword or something.
Couldn't you put a line in there where it's like, well, now that Unicron's here, the link to the whatever's broken, now he's vulnerable, or you do that, right?
Yeah.
You know? They didn't.
But he wasn't.
So I said it.
I said it.
I saw it coming and I went, hey, everybody, let's just pretend that the link to Unicron has been broken because he's here and so he's vulnerable now.
Yeah.
That's why Optimus Prime is cutting all his limbs and head off now. Because the link to the, and everybody's like, got it, champ.
Perfect. Thank you for coming out. Yeah, you
they should all do that saluted at, me at and all applauded. Cinemas. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It could have been even a situation where, like, he went against Unicron or Unicron was upset with him. So maybe because he only gave him half the keys, like, I'm taking away some of your powers for that.
Perfect.
There you go. I could have stood up in the cinema and do that.
That's
maybe
right.
We'll do different sessions and see
okay,
what,
right. See which see one work better, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we sell it.
Then we sell it.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's all good. That's all good and fun stuff.
Mm, okay.
But the big reveal in this movie.
Oh, my God. And such a big non-reveal.
Talking about it for years.
Tremendous. Normally we talk, like, at the end of the year, we do our famous Weekly Planet Awards.
Yeah.
And one of them, of course, is the Game Is On Awards, the most blatant attempt to build a franchise within a movie to the detriment of the movie itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need a new category for this. Because it's own thing, this thing. It's the big, huge reveal that gives us nothing.
Yeah.
Because I guess, unless this is a tremendous failure, though, they are going to make at least one more, I would imagine.
Well, there is another one coming that's not in this continuity. We'll talk about it.
All right.
Anyway, the reveal
it's just
is
such a...
People might be familiar with the character of Agent Burke. Mm. And no, not from Heroes.
Oh, yes.
There's an Agent Burke from the TV show Heroes.
Uh-huh.
Agent Burke from the G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Played by Michael Kelly.
Yeah, so we get Noah, the human hero of the movie. And
he's just going to a regular job interview.
He wants to go to a regular job interview. And he goes in there and they're like, you certainly...
Where's your resume?
And he's like,
so much?
And he's like, oh, well, I got up some stuff recently. And they're like, with the Transformers? We know all about it because guess what?
And he's like, no. No, never heard of them. Won't hear about it.
And they're like, well, it looks like this is just a fish market or something. Well, actually, we've got a big warehouse behind us. And look at this warehouse. Let's turn this thing and a big doors open. And we see a big warehouse with nothing in it, just an empty warehouse.
And a jet under construction, maybe?
Maybe, I don't know. But he's like, we're actually a secret organization. You thought this was just a regular movie, but actually we've got a Nick Fury vibe thing happening at the end here.
Yeah,
and
man.
I'm, we're actually a big team and we look after big stuff that happens. We didn't do anything in this instance.
No, we didn't.
We just sat back and did nothing.
Yeah.
But we were busy. I hurt my leg. So, but if you want to be on the team, you're a guy who could be on this team.
Yep.
Because you wore a robot suit once.
That's right.
I think that's important.
And that's the thing we did in a different continuity.
Yeah, in the future, I think. Anyway, we're G.I. Joe. And you know this because despite this completely empty warehouse behind me, I've handed you a business card that says G.I. Joe on the back.
And his name? Agent Burke.
Yeah, right, yeah.
It's not G.I. Joe,
yeah,
Mason.
Yeah.
I mean, what they should have done is, I know people have talked about it, that John Cena was actually Duke in Bumblebee, and that interview was with John Cena.
Yeah.
That's
No. It shouldn't be with John Cena. It should be with Michael Kelly because I love him as a character actor and think he's delightful. But then you open the thing and it's John Cena is there and he's like, and he's in a big tank or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is G.I. Joe, baby. And we'd be like, yes, but this is nothing.
Yeah.
And look, I understand.
It's like, remember the end of Fantastic Four 2015 when they look over that nothing space? Mm. Yeah.
And I think the obvious example is,
apparently
they've just acquired the
apparently
movie.
His name is Jack Burns.
Okay.
The John Cena character.
Okay, all right. Wow.
Yeah, anyway, go on.
Probably they've just done, like, they've just acquired this license maybe. And they
it's Hasbro.
I guess maybe they haven't locked down the aesthetic of what they want it to be yet.
Yeah,
so they wouldn't want to be like, well, here's Snake Eyes, because they haven't redesigned Snake Eyes. Or here's the iconic G.I. Joe tank or whatever, because we haven't decided what it's going to look like yet.
Yeah.
But also, who cares?
Who cares?
They could have
the tank in the next movie will be different.
Will be different.
Slightly
exactly.
different. Yeah.
Like, just like all the Transformers look different from
movie.
Imagine
if they opened it up and there was like a bunch of G.I. Joe vehicles in there.
Or a bunch of G.I. Joes.
Or they were watching Snake Eyes on DVD.
They were watching Snake Eyes on DVD, exactly. Like, where'd you get this technology?
How'd they know about Snake Eyes? They made this movie about Snake Eyes.
Yeah.
So I guess, is this in the Snake Eyes continuity, do you think? Would you say so? When's Snake Eyes set? Who cares?
Yeah.
We'll do it next week, actually.
Yeah, we'll cover
this is a perfect
week.
Opportunity to do the Snake Eyes movie.
But just, I'm fascinated by a big reveal of nothing.
Yeah, I know.
Like, because we've just seen a giant robot planet attempt to consume the world, and then we as an audience who have sat for an extra couple of minutes to watch this post-credits, we are supposed to be impressed by an empty room.
Yeah, man.
I thought there was going to be a pan down or something interesting.
Yeah. Snake Eyes.
Snake Eyes might have been there.
Duke.
Brendan
Fraser's character.
I thought about Brendan Fraser's character. Yeah. You know what I mean? That would be people like, oh my God, it's Brendan Fraser. Is he going to be in the next one? No, he's not.
I'm trying to work out when Snake Eyes is set. I can't figure it out. Mm. But I don't think it was in the 80s or early
90s. I don't think it was.
Yeah. But absolutely, yeah.
I hope there's another one of these so we can build an award category around it.
Do you think maybe if they had just handed them the card and maybe not open a big room of nothing, it would have been more interesting?
Yes.
I agree, and it would have cost less.
Mm.
I mean, you open a door to – the room wasn't even that big.
No. There were probably bigger warehouses prior in the movie that we'd already forgotten about because we're not interested in looking at warehouses in this movie. We're interested in looking at Transformers.
If you had been in that interview room,
like
if I was in that interview room and they opened the fake wall and there's a warehouse, I'd be like, why is this behind a fake wall?
Yeah.
Like, this is nothing.
Are you selling drugs? Are you putting drugs in your fish?
This is like an illegal, like,
are you selling an illegal
fish market or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is this?
Incredible. Just.
Anyway, on the future of this, this is by Stephen Caple Jr., who's 10 years older than me, said the Joes are really cool. And I would love to see what I could do with them. There are sections of the Joes that haven't been utilized and characters that have never been touched, and I'm excited about that. I will say this about what's next. We've spent a lot of time on Earth, and I'm curious to see what is out there. Mm. So apparently it's going to be – this is a Unicron trilogy.
Okay.
Unicron didn't change into a big man.
That's true.
And that's part of the Unicron canon. Mm. Sometimes he's in Earth. That happens too.
That's true. That is very
true. Depends
on
which Unicron.
Unless that's a different guy who just has the name Unicron.
Yeah. It depends what Unicron you worship.
Yeah. Maybe it's Unicron with a C and Unicron with a K. Sometimes there's a Stephen with a V and a Stephen with a PH.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, let's do some reviews. How about that?
Okay,
this
great.
People sent in. This is from Noah who said, just saw Transformers. And I got to say, I loved it. Did I think it was good? Probably not. But as a lifelong fan, it gave me a lot of what I wanted. Toy box style action and memorable characters. Is this in the running for the Gamers On?
Well, remains to be seen. I'm going to need a lot of time to think about it.
Danny Boy, the Pipes of the Pipes, says, I'm not watching Transformers. I'm slowly getting drunk while making Alfredo and listening to the Weekly Planet 2017. My wife is asleep on the couch. There's a YouTube ambience video with palm trees on the TV.
It's beautiful.
I know.
This is palm trees like the Hawaiian shirt of Chuckles, G.I. Joe undercover agent who could have been in that warehouse. Picking out a Hawaiian
maybe
shirt.
Maybe he was.
For his undercover operation.
He was undercover, Mason.
As a fish.
Yeah,
maybe.
It's from For Progress who says, Transformers Rise of the Beast feels like a studio really trying to regain a $1 billion franchise. Better human actors, crap plot. Peter Cullen needs a prime movie. Contender for the Game is On award. And Dan says, just saw Transformers and I had fun with it. Certainly a step backwards after Bumblebee, but I was happy to see that they kept up with the tradition of Optimus Prime being a bloodthirsty psychopath. So, yeah, as mentioned, part of a trilogy. The next Transformers movie we're getting is set mid-next year, and it's a prequel, purely animated movie. I think ILM are doing it, and it's called Transformers 1, and Chris Hemsworth is voicing Optimus Prime.
Oh, I did know that.
And also Orion Pax, who is Optimus Prime's mate.
That's right. His roommate. They're good friends.
They're good friends.
Good friends.
So that I am looking forward to. I don't know if I love that casting.
Yes.
But the best Transformers movie is the first 5 minutes of the movie Bumblebee.
Agreed.
So if we could do something like that, I don't think it'll be this super ultra realistic style because that is expensive to do. But I did like in this movie where they all fought in a big gray field.
So that was pretty good,
And there was a big gray bridge in it, and there was a scorpion, and there was a moment when Optimus Prime will bash the guy's head in with a big boulder or whatever.
That's true. I liked the bit where they were going up like an Aztec
step
sort of situation. It was a lot of nice greenery. I thought that was pretty good.
Looked real and legit.
Yeah.
Yeah. All in all, they made it.
They sure did.
Yeah.
And we've made it.
We have made it. Should we move it along?
Yes.
But what are we going to do?
We could do another segment of the show, which we've been doing for literally years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm surprised you don't remember it, but it's called What We Read and What We're Gonna Read.
It's not up to me to still remember things, Mason.
Okay.
That's not my job.
It's true.
All right, we're still going to do some Transformer spoilers. Right. So if you're here, there'll be a time code. We were talking off air.
Yes, if you can even imagine such a thing.
I know, right? We try not to. But basically, what do you do with G.I. Joe?
Yeah. And I said, you need the colorful characters. You need because there's a bunch of different guys. There's the demolitions guy, and there's a snow guy, and there's a what have you, and all the
there's a Ray Stevenson guy whose bike breaks into different rockets.
Exactly, and then you break the guy out of the prison or whatever, and he's a different actor now.
Yeah,
all that sort of stuff. But they haven't cast any of that, so they couldn't put it in any of they couldn't put it in the post credits.
Also.
Cobra.
Also.
Cobra has interesting vehicles. Cobra has different vehicles, like interesting vehicles like the Hiss Tank or
Tank
whatever.
Treads.
But
snake-based warfare.
But G.I. Joe doesn't really. So I guess you could
just like, Jeeps and
it's just Jeeps. I guess they would just open the hangar and just be filled with Jeeps, I guess. So
no, they've got those bouncy mech suits, Mason.
I hate those.
I hate them too.
Awful.
Yeah. But also, the idea of like putting together a G.I. Joe team and doing it in one movie, it's hard because that's just a superhero team, but everybody's just in different colored pants.
That's right.
And one's a grenade guy, one has a mustache, there's a girl who can do karate or whatever. Yeah. You know, this is what they do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know, other than like,
it's a bearded lady.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a bunch of circus people. And I just.
There's a construction worker.
Yep.
Native American.
Yeah.
And
all
so
of these
forth.
Different
yeah.
things. Yeah. Mm. I just don't.
G-I-J-O-E. It's fun to stay in the G-I-J-O-E.
Warehouse that we all live,
warehouse,
we live in.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. And I think the idea of pairing them with Transformers, I get that, and it makes sense because, again, it's two brands coming together, but I find the Transformers.
Perfect.
get it. I find the idea.
The fact that you didn't say that with a deep sigh shows how far deep into the machine we are. That we didn't just go, I get pairing the G.I. Joes and Transformers because you're putting two brands together.
You don't want to see a Transformers G.I. Joe battleship movie all Hasbro?
No, I would love that, actually.
Yeah. Slash Clue, slash the movie, slash the Operation.
Oh, yep.
If that is Hasbro.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, just an
Optimus Prime there is like, I can't get my fingers into get the wishbone out. You'll have to do it, computer lady. It's all right. No, they blew it up.
No, I'm just going, I'll hit it with my sword. There we go. I did it. Yeah. I don't know. I think, you know, they tried it with Snake Eyes. They thought, let's pair it back and focus on one character, and that
bad
didn't
move.
Work.
Not
and
interesting.
I don't know, man.
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think maybe G.I. Joe is not the answer.
Well, too bad. They put G.I. Joe on the card.
Yeah.
Unless they've changed. You know what they should have done? They should have put a different organization name on the card in different regions or in different cinemas and see what people responded to.
So in Australia, it would be like Melbourne Zoo.
Yeah.
Yeah. In France, it would be, I don't know, the grave of Jim Morrison or something.
Is or just
no,
say,
Jimi Hendrix. Yeah. Who's there?
Or, Jim Morrison.
Jim Morrison, yeah.
Or it could just say Al-Qaeda.
No, Mason, that's bad.
And it was
the
like,
Transformers team up with Al-Qaeda. Oh,
I could
no.
say FaZe Clan.
Oh, that's bad too,
that's
Mason.
That's awful. Because there was it DC, I think, maybe did a Batman comic where he had to team up with FaZe Clan. He's like, I can't solve this mystery. I'm going to have to contact FaZe Clan. And now they're all getting cancelled for
yeah,
whatever.
I don't think all the original ones of yep, Batman FaZe Clan number one.
Yeah.
Guess when it came out? Last year.
Was it last year? I was going to say 2015 maybe. My goodness. Wow.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Let's do the other segment we were going to
do. Okay, what are we reading? What are we going to read?
I'm doing the thing. Letters.
Go on.
We'll be after that. I'm in the wrong segment.
Yes.
I've been doing a deep dive on like old Indiana Jones games and comics and stuff.
That's
like
right,
that.
Yeah.
Well, obviously we're doing the movies at the moment for Caravan of Garbage, but we're doing some bonus stuff at Big Sandwich. So that's what I've basically been doing, going through Indiana Jones stuff and being like, wow, there's really not a lot of this, you know?
Yeah.
And
again,
even
that,
less
that is,
of it is good.
That is why people have dropped off the Indiana Jones train, I think.
Yep.
Plus Indiana Jones kicked them off.
That's right. Mm. The big kick to the face.
That's right. When's that? A couple of weeks? June?
Yeah, 28.
July? Okay.
Though,
terrific.
Yeah, I think I think we can see it a week earlier if we want to go to the premiere.
Yeah, right.
Mm. Which, you know, we'll see.
We sure will.
And what are you doing though?
I've watched a couple of things. There in Australia, the first episode of the new season of Utopia came out.
Oh,
you
cool!
Saw that, which is a workplace comedy in the style of The Office, which is sort of, but it's in a government agency.
It's yeah, a bit it's of fun. Good. It's really funny.
A bit of fun. And I also watched a couple of episodes of a show which I think is on Amazon Video worldwide. Deadlock.
I watched Deadlock.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm going to talk about it on Suggestible.
Oh, great! So Deadlock. Yeah. Do people know the Cates? They might do. Kate McLennan and Kate McCartney.
Mm.
They wrote a couple of things. They wrote The Catering Show.
Yeah.
Which is a sort of a satire of cooking shows and stuff like that. And they did Get Kraken, which was a satirical morning show.
Yes.
And I think that got some attention. Both of those got a lot of attention worldwide. There was a Thermomix episode of The Catering Show, which people really enjoyed. But they've written a Australian TV comedy murder show called Deadlock.
Set in the fictional town of Tasmania.
Mm.
The fictional town of Tasmania, that's right.
Yeah. And it's about a couple of detectives who are sort of thrown together to solve the case. And it's funny and dark. And
it is. It's a really good blend of like the murder mystery elements with the comedy, I feel. They've hit that balance like really, really well.
Mm.
And who's the murderer? We don't know yet. So maybe at the end we'll be like, nah, I don't like that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But no, I really like the stuff that they do. And I like their kind of style of comedy.
Mm.
And this is kind of all of that.
That's right. So there you go.
Packaged together really well. Yeah, I hope this is doing well like internationally as well. I know it's doing well here, but so that's really cool.
Oh, and I said this to you earlier, Auntie Donna's Coffee Cafe. Rewatched it again.
I gotta watch that again as well.
Sure, it's good. It's a good show, in my opinion.
Just have to use ABC iView, Mason, my favorite app. My favorite.
Well, they
app
do
in
a
the
bit
world.
In the show, don't they?
Yeah.
About how it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I've never had a problem with it.
Really?
Touch wood.
Oh, no. You've said it now, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Mason, should we move to the next segment
of
the
show? Yep, Scott Letters.
Was it?
Yep.
Okay.
Here we go.
Is there a theme song? Letters, sorry. We love you. Some letters. I didn't realize.
I got it here right now. We're going to do letters. Your eye is twitching, James.
I feel like I petted a cat.
I'm coughing too. What's going on?
I feel like I petted a cat and touched my eye. The eye feels like that.
Yeah. Is this room lined with cats? Dead cats?
It's filling with poisonous gas.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
perfect. That might be it.
We're falling a bit.
Are you allergic to poisonous gas?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Quite badly allergic.
You tell me now?
I get a rash on my neck. Anything, cyanide, arsenic. I'm like, really? Ah,
well, that's
yuck.
No good.
Scratching, I've got to put some lotion on it.
Mason, in terms of letters, mm-hmm. this is how people reach the show. They hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod
on
Twitter.
That's right.
Or they send you a Gmail to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
That's right.
What do you got this week for us?
Great question.
Slash, do you want me to just read a letter first?
I think you should do that.
This is from Batcat, who says, hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod. I was wondering, brackets, hoping, if you could consider bringing back your week-to-week breakdowns just for the new Loki series coming up. I know it killed you and Raw Cullings. Oh, no, my battery's running low. But I
is that in the email?
That's in the email. Wow. That's me. But I personally,
what do you think? They think they're in danger or something?
Yeah, they might be. Mm. But I personally love them, and his edits were a thing of beauty. Look. Probably not.
We might do audio only. If we were going to do it, I think we'd do it audio only to take the pressure off certain people. Raw Cullings.
Me.
Oh.
Me.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
But they were fun. And I think it got to the point where, it's a lot of work for like, I don't know. I was going to say for not a lot of
work. $1 million an episode.
$1 million an episode. But it's a lot to get out of video that quickly and,
that's true.
And whatever. But that was probably if we were going to do one, it would probably be that series.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. But, you know.
Or Twisted Metal.
Or Twisted Metal, obviously.
Yeah. I can't believe they haven't shown us any cars yet, we would say.
Yeah.
And then we could just copy and paste that every episode.
We're on the finale. Yeah. There's no cars yet. When are they going to twist some metal?
Those cars aren't even made of metal. They're made of fiberglass. Wow.
Incredible.
5 stars.
Oh, great.
Mm. Here's an email from John.
John?
He says, you guys mentioned that you dislike Death of comics last week. And while I agree it's a dumb tactic to boost sales, I enjoyed the death of Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange dies in issue 1, which triggers a spell he put in place just after he got his powers that brings the younger, inexperienced version of Strange to the modern day to solve his own murder.
Maybe I should read that.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
This seems like a candidate, if you ask me, for the Big Sandwich Classic comic book.
All right, then.
Yeah.
That's cool, then. We'll do it.
Okay, thank you, John.
Appreciate that,
good
John.
Good email.
Put that
this
on my
time,
list.
This time.
Put my, we'll see.
Yeah.
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 I'll put that on my list of things and hopefully not forget it.
Nice.
Yeah, because that does sound really interesting. This is from Gareth Jones, who said, rewatching Last Crusade in prep for Caravan of Garbage in a couple of weeks' time. It's this week, for those of you who are interested. Hope you mentioned that the Nazi that gets hit with the periscope is Nick Gillard, stunt coordinator for the Star Wars prequels, responsible for so many flips. I did not know that, and that is not in the video.
Wow.
But yeah, Nick Gillard, who you might know as the Jedi Syndralig also.
I don't.
He did all the Corey Mason on the
I did
prequels.
The Corey.
Okay. And now I can picture that guy in my head, and that is obviously Nick Gillard. So great spot, Gareth. I did not know that.
Yes.
Taught me something.
That's
and honestly, most of the things people send me, I already know, or I said it in the video they're commenting on.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Here's an email from Ronnie.
Ronnie?
Hi, James and Meso. I'm Ronnie from Portland, Oregon, and I've been listening and re-listening to you guys and Claire on that other less successful podcast.
Whoa.
And work across 2 different jobs for something like 7 years.
Wow.
My question is, with the boom in multiverse stories, I was wondering what rebooted franchises or even works from an individual writer, producer, actor would you like to see collapse in on themselves? I've always wanted to see the Sandlerverse or Stephen King multiverse movies since they apparently take place in their own respective timelines.
Oh my God.
Honorable mention to the Tarantinoverse, Ronnie from Portland. So, Stephen King's, all his works.
They're all loosely connected
the Dark Tower.
Yeah.
And there are so many
references.
There's
a big magic turtle in it or something.
There's a big magic turtle in it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
Turtle from Entourage.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He elevated himself so much. He became so much. He got so much power
from his tequila brand.
Well, I was going to say, he siphoned off Vinny Chase. He became an interdimensional being.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
So the Sandlerverse, apparently, do they take place all in the same?
They might. Timelines? There's a really cool. I can't remember the name of the video, but if you Google like Sandlerverse, there's a guy like going insane, connecting them all.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder. I guess I would like to see an original
Sean Coney. They're called the Sandlerverse. Right. He's got a couple of videos, but yeah.
I'm sure we've talked about maybe many years ago, but the Tommy Westfall universe, which is, of course,
the TV.
There was a TV series called Saint Elsewhere, and one of the characters in it was set in a hospital.
Yes.
And one of the characters is a little boy named Tommy Westfall, and in the final episode of the series, they pull back. The final scene, they pull back, you see a shot of the hospital, it's snowing, it pulls back, and it's inside a snow globe, and Tommy is holding the snow globe. And the idea behind it, the genesis of the theory is that...
He's imagining the interconnected lives.
Yeah, that means that everything that happened in the show was in his mind.
Yeah.
But then because other characters from other TV shows guest starred in St. Elsewhere, and then they subsequently went to other, you know, and guest starred on other people's shows.
It's
and
every show.
It's pretty much every show on TV in a certain era was all set in that universe and therefore in this boy's mind.
Because it bleeds into, like, The Simpsons, then that gets into everything.
Yeah,
basically.
Exactly, yeah. So yeah. I would like to see a TV series that riffs on that somehow.
And you get everybody back?
No, you couldn't. See, that's the thing. You'd have to do, like, an original.
Yeah.
You'd have to do new IP. Like, you'd have to do a NY, like a Law and Order style series.
What if it was a Good Doctor styled, like, Tommy is the main character?
Oh, yeah.
You know? Okay. He's got autism superpowers.
And he's jumping in between realities. Yeah. That sounds really cool. Because
his autism is
except for the
so
thing
powerful.
You said about that. I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
But just something exploring the idea that those are connected in some way.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I mean, the problem is obviously that – not obviously. That
let's see if it's obvious.
Okay, I was going to say it needs a kind of a deft hand to put all that sort of stuff together and not make it appear like either a shameless cash grab or just a really awkward – because the thing about like the one I was thinking about that didn't quite work. There's an episode of Black Mirror.
Yeah,
it's called Black Museum.
And it's
some characters go into this place like this backwater town, and it's got a museum, and it's filled with pieces from previous Black Mirror episodes,
and some of the ones that are in stories from within that episode also.
Yeah, and it just doesn't quite work because they were never really intended to tie in correctly
no.
in the first place. It was just a
lot of them are in different realities.
Yeah, and occasionally to be like a character in this episode has the same name as a corporation from another episode or something like that. They're just nods and they're never an attempt to actually do that. And so trying to do it and going, doesn't this wrap up quite neatly? I don't think it does.
Yeah,
so,
okay, I guess, yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, so don't do it. Is that what you're saying?
No, do it. Give it a whirl. Again, it's not my money. So
oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I don't care.
And you're not going to waste any time on it. You might not even watch it.
I might not even watch it or think about it. I might watch a summary of it on YouTube maybe from somebody else and go, sounds dumb.
Who made this crap?
New series of Black Mirror is coming out.
Yeah, absolutely
soon.
It is.
I'm excited for that.
Next week, week
I'm
after.
I'm very excited to like at least half of them.
I know. Mm. Did you see Charlie Brooker was like, I got ChatGPT to write a Black Mirror episode. It was terrible.
Yeah, I did say
like,
that.
Yeah, no, we know. Yeah. Mason, this is from Fernando who says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. I need either a commentary on Caravan of Garbage on Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance. I know it's not very good, but I love it. And the behind-the-scenes stuff on all the stunts is pretty insane. You like this movie.
I do.
And I've never seen it. So I would definitely do a commentary on
terrific.
This. First, we have to do the Time Machine commentary, though. We all have to sit through the Time Machine.
Yeah, we've done that.
Yeah, but it's not out yet.
Okay. Okay, I'm glad that wasn't you subtly trying to tell me you'd lost the recording. Because,
So that's cool. But no, yeah, I would love to do that. We've already done the other Ghost Rider, so why not this one as
true.
Well, I guess.
And it's got the great Nicolas Cage still.
That's
he, of course, made an appearance at some sort of games conference recently.
Did he?
To promote Dead by Daylight because he's in it.
Or whatever. Is he a character or himself?
He is himself, but he is like a character. He's like one of the player archetypes, I think.
Okay.
He's not a monster, which I would way prefer him to be a monster.
To fight Nicolas Cage.
You have to fight Nicolas Cage and he puts you on a big hook or whatever.
Oh, no.
But he showed up to the event like a la Keanu Reeves and he was very earnest.
Hey.
Exactly. He was like that.
I was in the movie Snake Eyes.
But not the one you're thinking of.
But
that's
maybe,
next week.
But maybe the one you're thinking of. Because I'd love to know which Snake Eyes movie people know more about, if at all.
Hey, do you want one more letter that is immediately dated? It will never be more dated, and minutes after we do it, you'll not understand. No one
100%.
Okay,
is it like the exact time it is now that we're recording this? Is they just set that through?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
this is from Will.
Yep.
As you may or may not have heard, Baby Gronk, the number one college football prospect in the country, was rizzed up by Livy on his recent visit to LSU and stole her from the Drip King. Do you think Baby Gronk is the new Drip King, or is Livy just using him for clout? That's from Will.
You're telling me that that's not going to be relevant in 100 years from now.
I'm saying that. I'm saying that I've already forgotten the context. And it's about
so the Drip King stole a baby from the what?
Oh, I'm thinking, is this the movie Labyrinth? Is that what's happening here? No, there's some kid on the internet and he's like 10. You're aware of this.
I'm not.
There's some kid on the internet, he's like 10, and his father's like, this kid's the best footballer, he's going to be the best footballer in the world, and everybody's got to pay attention and give me money, and I'm not, this is this good for my kid.
This isn't a scam?
No.
Okay.
His kid's name is Baby Gronk. And he's taking photos with like weird influencers and stuff.
Is he a good footballer?
He's 10.
Yeah, I know, but like for a 10-year-old,
I don't know. But
I'm not like, yeah, is he tackling grown men in the NFL?
Yeah,
like I know, I'm aware of that.
Okay, but I don't know. It's just this thing happened, and I don't like it. Leave your kids alone. Probably doesn't even want to play football.
No, Baby Gronk, he sounds like he might want to play some football.
Mm.
What is he, a Gronk?
His name's Baby Gronk.
But what's his actual
Google
name?
Google Baby Gronk. I don't know.
My computer's about to die.
Wow, well.
This is going to kill it too.
Good.
I don't know about...
I'll put Baby Gronk into Twitter.
That's his real name.
Baby Gronk.
I mean, I don't really want to know his name.
Okay.
Is this a parody? His real name's Madden. Okay. I guess like John Madden.
Like John Madden, probably. God,
this is insane.
Mm.
Is Baby Gronk actually good at football? He's actually really advanced and very good at football.
That's true.
Plays 5 sports. A lot of people don't know this about him, but he's a better baseball player than a football player. Wow. I didn't know that.
Wow.
So that's certainly something I didn't know. How much can Baby Gronk lift?
That's a great question.
Does Gronk have a punctured lung?
These are all very relevant questions. And will remain relevant for the next 100 years.
Baby Gronk can lift 500 pounds on TikTok. I doubt it. I seriously doubt it.
I think you could beat him up.
10-year-old can lift 500 pounds. And my computer's off. Thanks, Mason.
No problem.
You fucking cooked my computer with this nonsense.
What's fine? It's all fine.
Now, I know, but how am I going to record the... I got to open my phone for the reviews.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Baby Gronk stole a zoo animal or whatever happened.
Where's your charger?
I didn't bring it because I thought I wouldn't need it. Don't look down your eyes, your glasses at me, Mason. Don't prop your glasses onto your nose and then look over them at me in a way that's I find condescending.
Anyway, perfect ending.
Stop it.
Perfect ending to a perfect podcast as far as I'm concerned. Folks, thank you so much for listening. If you have any Baby Gronk news. James, I gave you Baby Gronk news to save you from Maryland versus Virginia news.
You didn't appreciate that.
Yeah, but it'll be back.
I might have vetoed it this week.
That's exactly right. Folks, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We absolutely appreciate it. If you we're doing okay?
Yeah,
thank you for liking the podcast. Thank you for telling your friends about the podcast. Thank you for subscribing on your podcast platform of choice. And while you're there, thank you for leaving a 5-star review. James, you got any there on your computer?
No, I do. This is from CNM67.
Nice.
5 stars, by the way. So easy to do in app.
I love that.
Yeah. Maybe you gave us a 4-star review. Maybe you could just go back in and bump it up. That's fine. That's what you could do. Yeah.
Very easy to do.
And then maybe I'll read it out.
That's right.
Crikey, mate. Such a great show. The best thing to come out of Australia since The Crocodile Hunter. Well, he's dead, so now we're the best.
That's so true.
By default.
That's
this is
right.
From Danny Maltrucci, which I'd be able to read better if I was reading off my computer,
Mason.
Do you
want to borrow my glasses?
No, Mason. My vision is perfect. grab your ankles and thank me later. Two British guys shoot red hot comic book movie news straight up your butthole.
Wow.
Robin Goodtime would recommend. All right.
That's wonderful. Folks, if you want to get into contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com, Facebook, Twitter, Bandcamp. You can go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group.
Yeah.
You can go to Weekly Planet Pod, Discord and subreddit if you want to have some fun, very civil discussions about podcasts and pop culture. Get in there, make some friends, have some laughs, have a good time.
Don't be mean stuff. Or you're out.
That's right. Do weird photoshops.
Yeah.
Have a bit of fun, you know?
That's right. Good that's stuff fine. That kind of weird stuff
that's
is
all
fine.
Good. We like all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see. If you want to follow some people, first you should follow...
Brands.
And not us in real
fun
life.
Fun brands on Twitter.
Fun brands on Twitter. Mr. Peanut.
No, not him.
Baby Gronk.
Yeah, Baby Gronk on Twitter.
But also you should first follow our friend Rob Collins, who edits this podcast.
Yes.
Puts a ton of work into the podcast.
Certainly does.
And videos and all sorts of stuff.
More than us even, maybe.
Definitely. You can follow him at Raw Collings on Twitter and at The Weekly Planet on Twitter for your Weekly Planet news. You can follow me on Twitter at Wikipedia Brown and Nick Maso on Instagram. James is Mr. Sunday Movies
Everywhere. Is this an English plug?
Yeah.
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 Give this to Claire.
That's right.
She's going to Europe.
Mm.
Go see her show.
That's right. Speaking of the subreddits and the Discords and the Facebook groups, thank you to Fidel and Maisie and Sarabi for doing their great admining
work.
And moderation over there.
and various cool other tasks.
That's right, and the TikToks and the so
Weekly
forth.
Planet channel.
That's exactly
There's Weekly Planet Clips channel.
TikTok. That's right. Mm. Folks, if you want to support the show, you go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. You chuck in a buck or an amount you would not miss.
Yeah.
Or you can go to bigsandwich.co, sign up for $9 per month. You get bonus podcasts, movie commentaries, early videos, video game let's plays and other stuff.
Once you sign up, all that is free.
That's right. Mm. Once you've signed up.
Yeah.
thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. T-shirts at tpublic.com. Buy a T-shirt or a mug or a throw pillow.
Yeah, buy a T-shirt, your mug.
Nice. Mm. Nice. And that is the show next week. That thing you said, The Flash.
The Flash.
Mm-hmm. Is it good or not?
We don't know yet. Michael Shannon doesn't care.
He was in for an hour recording his lines. They scared his head.
He didn't wear a mocap suit. They had to work around that. He just wouldn't. Because they said he did a year of training for Man of Steel and like prep and this. He's like, I came in and I left.
Mm.
You know, that's great. Yeah. That's it. Thanks, everyone.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.